Be still and know that I am God. I am so glad that we can be still and know that He is God. The Lord wants us to have a deep faith in Him and to know that He is God. Lay something on my heart tonight. I'd like for you to go with me to Mark the 13th chapter, 24th verse. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's talking here quite a bit, anyway, about the coming of the Son of Man. But without having to go to the previous parts of the chapter before, it also is talking in the previous chapter about the destruction of Jerusalem and part of the coming of the Son of Man. And many times it can get confusing a little bit sometimes to people as to which part is referring to what. You know, what is it talking about? What is it referring to when the Son of Man comes? Because some of it is definitely talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and it seems to almost kind of blend in together just as it says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Well, we know that that generation wasn't there when the end of time came. But that generation was there to the end of the destruction of Jerusalem. And I think of how that can be taken different ways also. I'm not sure exactly, but that can also be talking in other ways of the generation of the Jews and that sort of thing. But I think here how that it kind of seems to go back and forth to the two different things. And it can be a little confusing. And there's been different times in life I've considered that and wondered about it. But you know, as you study the Scripture out and you look into the different things in the Word, you will find in many places, and we'll try to go to a little bit of that. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st verse. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, perilous, through the idea of reducing strength, difficult, dangerous, furious, or fierce. And I want us to listen to that. Through the idea of reducing strength. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Keep that in mind. We'll try to come back to that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, you can read the Scripture, and this is talking about in the last days, perilous times shall come. If you were to look into each one of these things, lovers of themselves, covetous, without natural affection, in all of these are things that they are in people's life, it will reduce the idea, it says through the idea of reducing strength. It will reduce the strength of a nation. It will reduce the strength of a person's integrity, and all it is there if we allow these things into our life. But I want us to notice also, if we were to go, for instance, to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and read a little bit there. You bear with me here. Ezekiel 14. And the second verse, it says, I'm sorry, it's not the second, it would be the 12th. The word of the Lord came again to me, says judgments on Jerusalem in my Bible, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off men and beasts from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And it goes on and tells of all the things that God's going to allow to come upon the land that sinneth grievously upon him, or trespasses grievously upon him, to break the staff of bread. Do you know, if you would go into different things of where it talks about destruction of a people, destruction of a land, how God would allow, and you would bring about the different similarities. I think, for instance, when it said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, that they shall be eating and drinking and having merry and all of that. Also, you talk about that there was their hearts were on evil continually in one place. Then there is the scripture that says, in one of the scriptures in the New Testament, it says that when the Lord comes, basically, that the hearts of the people shall be failing for the things coming upon the earth. And he tells us to not let our hearts fail. Don't look up. Look up. Our redemption cometh from above. Look up to God and be encouraged in those times, and look up instead of looking around at all that's happening, because the normal thing is that the hearts of men are going to fail because of the things coming upon the earth. But he wants us to look up and remember that our redemption cometh from God. And if we look at the many times, even if you go into Mark here and were to read back over the things about the destruction of Jerusalem and the things that were going to happen, and it says in one place, for the nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famine and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. Now that's just a scripture that I'd like to read, not saying which one it's referring to. But when we think of all these things, and people say, well, what's the signs of the coming of the Son of Man? When you really think about it, the signs of destruction are pretty much similar, whatever the case. The signs of destruction for the coming of the Son of Man at the end, the signs of destruction whenever it was in Ezekiel, the signs of destruction for Jerusalem, the signs of what would cause God to even bring destruction upon the people of Israel when they turned their hearts from God and they allowed their hearts to go to evil continually, and the promiscuousness that would come in, the evil that they would start allowing to in their hearts and in their lives, and when people start doing that kind of thing, it starts bringing forth the judgments of God. And yet at the same time, many times, evil is abounding, but because the hearts of mankind are hardened, many times they go on in their way and on in their way, eating and drinking and being merry and going on as though everything's going to be okay before the destruction hits. Do you know, I think of that, and people say, well, which part's referring to what here? I'd like to say tonight that the Lord knows that when destruction comes, the similarity is so much the same in every time. And so he told us, he says, now, Lord, a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Talking of the perilous times, when mankind would call evil good, and when mankind would allow all those things that it talked about there, without natural affection, having a knowledge of good, but but denying the power thereof. You know, all of those things that are there, it will weaken the strength of the moral structure of a person, of a nation, of a congregation, wherever it is, it will weaken the moral strength. And that is, whenever that happens, the justice of God has to speak. Whenever that comes to a place to where, remember, when the flood came and their hearts were evil continually, and the times that that would happen in the hearts of mankind were evil continually, God had to look down and say, it is enough. It is enough. Man, whenever he sins treacherously against God and he takes on these things, now we look at our land today and we see evil being called good. We see it going farther and farther, and you look on with amazement at the moral structure of our nation that is being undermined, that is been turned loose and weakened. The strength of the moral code of our country has been so weakened, and we're seeing it in all that is happening and coming around about us. So therefore, the Lord says, yes, in the end of when these signs come for the end of time, you know, many times there's going to be an end time. If we will go to 2 Peter, many times people will say, oh well, people have said the end of time is going to come from way back when the disciples were there and they warned of it there, and yes, there were things that were coming up on. I'm going to tell you, at the time when Jesus came, the moral structure of the land there was very, very weakened. But the hope of Jesus Christ was able to bring back a moral code to the people, bring back his moral code, to bring back to them what God wanted in mankind. And because of that, and as men started accepting it, it started causing there to be a strengthening of the moral code of all those that would go along with that. But do you know what? There will not be any other but Jesus Christ. There won't be another. There won't be another Jesus Christ. And we live in a land today that is so dumbed down the message of Jesus Christ, to where that when people think of Jesus, what they think of, it has actually done, as the Scripture said, denied the power thereof, of what Christ is. No, his power is the same. He is the same, but what he is in the minds and hearts of the people is not the same. And you know what? If it's in the hearts and the minds of the people, he can't work with anything like that. It has to be faith in the hearts of people for God to be able to touch their faith, to be able to touch them. They've got to have something for them, him, to be able to draw on. And because of that, we are in perilous times, dear ones, because there is more and more coming up on the world today, calling evil good, and yet calling it good in the name of Christianity even, in the name of Christ. You know, the very, what they are doing to his name is polluting his name, and it is sad what is happening in our land today, and there will be no other, dear ones. There will be no other. And that tells me that what will happen then when Christ has to bring destruction and says, it is enough. When it gets to where he says, it's enough, I cannot, injustice, allow this to go on for the young, for the youth, and for all that is there, I have to do something. What will happen then, dear ones? He wants us to realize, beware of the end times. It says in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty loving God we serve. That He will continually reach out for souls. Some soul here and some soul there trying to help. But dear ones, there will be an end time. There's, yes, people say, oh, we've been in this place before. All these kind of things, nothing's new that comes upon you on the earth. It's been there many times before, but God has destroyed many times before nations, people, countries. He has destroyed even in the time of Noah when He destroyed the land at the time. He says, don't forget that. Don't forget that. The time will come. That the end will come and there is reserved unto fire. But you know what? What I want us to think about tonight is this. Anytime destruction comes, whether it's on our own personal life, whether it's to a people or whatever it is, anytime that an end is going to come to every one of us, at some point in time, an end is going to come to each and every one of us. And the Lord wants us to listen to these scriptures. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. But at that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The Lord's warning to us each and every one is to watch. Be aware. Watch. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and read a few scriptures there. Matthew 26 and 19. I'm sorry, it's 26 and 40. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Now this is talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He knew that what was before Him was a great task. And He was praying. He said, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. 38th verse. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you know He went away and prayed again and they went to sleep? I would like us to look a little bit before this, in the 31st verse, and it says, Then saith Jesus unto them all, All ye shall be offended because of Me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny Me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, I wonder, obviously the disciples did not get the seriousness of this. You know, Lord help us to get the seriousness of watching. To get the seriousness of watching. To be careful, to watch and pray. They obviously did not get the seriousness of it, and so when it came time and Jesus wanted to pray with them, they went to sleep. I wonder, had one of them. Of course, it didn't happen this way. And the Lord knew it wouldn't. You know, sometimes we have to learn. We have to learn to be cautious, don't we? We have to learn when to be cautious. If one of them, even, had taken that so much more seriously, the Lord told me I was going to do this. and they had got before their face with Jesus and prayed earnestly for that same strength, what do you think would have happened? You know, that's a scenario and it didn't happen and God knew it wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you, I honestly believe if they had it, God would have given them the strength that they needed. And that's why I say, sometimes we have to learn that, you know what? I need to be more aware. I need to be more alert. I need to persevere. I need to watch. And, you know, they went through this, and Peter thought he would never do that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's not in our own strength that we stand. It is not in our own strength. I am cautious to say, I will never do this, and I will never do that. You know, it's not that I'm afraid of what God can do, but I recognize it's not in my strength to do it. I'm desperate for God to help me. I'm desperate for God to help me. I know that. The Lord doesn't want me to be fearful, but to realize in humility before God that it's going to be you, Lord. I cannot be faithful on my own. I cannot do it on my own strength and in my own strength. I need God. Do you know many people today are in trouble because they're not willing to truly have that depth of humility before God to see I cannot find my way alone. I need God. And because I need Him, I need to follow Him closely. I need to walk with Him. I need to talk with Him. I need to learn how to listen to Him. I need to hear His voice. And that's something I have to learn how to do, how to walk. I need to get serious. It says in one place, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It doesn't just fall on us. The Lord wants us to ask, to seek, to knock. He wants us to be serious, to watch, be on our guard, to realize that it's not in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot. My biggest prayer before God is, Lord, help me to be faithful. If you see me in need, you pray for me that God will help me to be faithful. I want to be faithful to God. I recognize it's not in my own strength to do it. There are things that I, Karen, cannot do. But I need the strength of God, and He can strengthen me. He can help me. He can be there, and He will. He will be there for His children. The dear ones, it's not in our own strength. If we go in and we're so determined, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. Do you know what? We can have convictions and we can have things. We have the depths of desire to follow the Lord. But we need to realize that in trusting in God, our trust has to be entirely and completely in Him. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own way. And you know, Peter thought, there's no way I'll not do that. Peter just thought he would not let it happen. You know what? We can't keep it from happening in our own strength. We need God, dear ones. And He will stand by us, and He will help us. But I'm telling you, He told them here, went on, He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the Lord wants us to realize the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and read a little bit there. Matthew 6, He said to watch, watch and pray. He told us that when you see these symptoms and you see these signs, then you need to be aware. You need to be careful and you need to be watching with a fervency. You need to get down on your knees and recognize your lack of strength in your own selves, that you need God in your life. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth the crop, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, when lust is conceived, when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed, and then lust, I can't remember exactly the word of it, but whenever we give and yield to that, to the lust and desires of our heart, then sin comes forth. You know, we're all human. And the enemy knows our weaknesses, and he knows how to draw on those weaknesses. He knows what to do. But he wants us to realize where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. So it's important that we guard that the treasure that we have in our lives. What it is, what do we treasure? What is it we're treasuring? What are we giving our life to? What is it that is most important in our lives? That's our treasure. Whatever it is that is the most to us is our treasure. And wherever that is the where our heart is going to be also. So if our heart is there, and our treasure is not fully and completely in the Lord, and we're not giving of ourselves to Him and following Him, then our desires of our heart are unto God, that He is first in our life. You know what? When the devil comes along and draws on that fleshly desire, then you know what? If our heart is there, then He is going to be able to override. He is going to be able to get to what is there in our heart. And it's so important that we lay not up treasures upon earth where moth and rust is corrupt. It is so important of where our treasure is and what kind of treasure we have. I'd like to go to James, the 5th chapter, and read this scripture. James 5 and 1 through 7. It says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Dear ones, if our treasure is on something besides God, our riches are corrupted, and our garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Do you know, dear one, we will reap what we sow. Whatever treasure that we have, if it's the kind of treasure that is corrupted and our garments are moth-eaten, do you know, dear ones, it says that she'll be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. Now, you know, I think of this and it brings the fear of God upon me, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Oh, dear ones, I would like to turn and read something over in Proverbs, a very common scripture. Proverbs, I believe it's the 1st chapter. It says, wisdom, 20th verse, crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Oh, dear one, this treasure that is corrupted in the garments are moth-eaten, and it shall be that your flesh is as the fire. Do you know, dear one, when wisdom cries out, the wisdom of the Lord cries out to each one of us, through His Word, through His dealing with our conscience, through helping us to know what is right and wrong, wisdom cries. Do you know, God's way is right. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. If I think God's way is something that it is not, I'm wrong. But God's way is right. It's right to do right. It's always right to do right. And to not do right is going to always cause us to get in trouble. It's going to cause us that our that and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. That if we allow ourselves to lay up treasure, that the treasures of our heart are going after it. It can be things that are just
many in ways of life that we refuse to take God's way and we take our own way. It may even be bitterness of heart. It may be the money that it's talking about here. It can be many things that the Word tells us about. That to be careful of the bitterness. Be careful of things in our lives. But if we won't listen to wisdom, we won't regard it. It says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God's going to laugh at me. Wisdom will laugh at our calamity. Wisdom is wisdom. We can go against it. We can refuse it. We can rebel against it. But right is right, and wisdom is right. And we're going to reap what we sow. And when we reap what we sow down through life, people are reaping and reaping and reaping because they refuse to listen to wisdom. They refuse to listen to that which is right. They refuse. They want their own way. They think they can do it on their own. They decide they don't want the way of right and go their own way, but all they want, the wages of sin is death. Oh, and bitter remorse. They're wanting to go our own way. We'll take us farther and farther into more reaping and more reaping and more reaping. And yet people wonder why. Why does this happen and why does that happen? When sin gets in people's lives, it causes problems to all those around about them. It causes hurt and it causes pain. It says when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso, you know, dear ones, you can look upon it seems like there's such prosperity. Seems like that it's just going on and on, but it says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, dear ones, I am so thankful for the mercy and truth in Jesus Christ. Wisdom will laugh at our calamity, but the mercy and truth in Jesus Christ always has a hand out. I want to help you. You've overstepped. You've not listened to my knowledge. You've not listened to my... But I want to help you. I want to help you. If you'll turn unto me, then I will be your God. If you turn to me with all your heart, I will be your God. I will be your Father. I will be your husband. I will be your deliverer, your Jehovah. I will be all in all to you. All dear ones, if only people could see. If only people could see. Those that oppose themselves, going after their own way and the very thing they long for, they end up opposing themselves and getting what they want because they don't listen to the knowledge of wisdom. They think they have a better way. They can do it a different way. But it will always eventually bring to destruction. And I think, Lord, help us. And you know, I'm so thankful in one place that they stand in the gap. Do you know, Lord, help us to stand in the gap for those that just keep on in their way to pray earnestly that God will have mercy, that peradventure they might see themselves and be able to turn unto God. Lord, help us to have that kind of wisdom. But I think about the scripture in Proverbs 21 that said there is treasure to be desired in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish spendeth it up. Do you know, dear ones, in the dwelling of the wise is wisdom. Where there is truth, there is wisdom. There is treasure. Let's not spend up that treasure. Let's not reject it and turn it away. If we will follow after what is right, God will stand behind. Wisdom will stand behind us. God will stand behind us. He will help us. He will be our friend. He will be our present help in time of need. He will be there. And whatever happens in life, He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, dear one, so it is so wonderful to have the Almighty God to be our friend. to be able, we want a relationship with God, that we will be able to listen to His wisdom, that we're willing to listen even if it hurts, that we're willing to listen to what is right and acknowledge it and let it work in our lives. It will bring to us prosperity of soul. Yes, there are people that have had little. They have been poor, but they have the riches of God in their life. They've had wonderful blessings of God. Oh, dear one, that is far greater than all the riches that are in this world. It's far greater than anything out there to be able to have God standing by our side, God helping us and being with us and helping us in a special way. Oh, dear ones, God is faithful to His promises to His children. He will stand by them. He will help them. Oh, dear ones, if I could only tell some of the blessings of the Lord, and some you can't even explain. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. But do you know, it doesn't mean, and I'd like to, someone maybe get for me, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 through 22. And if someone else will get 1 Corinthians 1 and 22. Do you know, dear ones, through the scripture, I think it says that life is a few days and full of trouble. Yes, there's going to be troubles, and it's going to fall on the just and the unjust. There's going to be troubles in life. There's going to be things that come our way. Does someone have 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 22? Praise the Lord. Do you know what? Life is a few days and full of trouble many times. But I'm going to tell you what, that in Jesus Christ we can be made alive. And yes, it says if in this life we only have hope, how miserable it would be. But you know what? That's not really saying. I'd like to get the 1 Corinthians 1 and 22. Does someone have that? I'm talking about the earnest of the Spirit. Is that where that's at? Maybe I have it down wrong. How the Lord, is that 1 Corinthians 1 and 22, or did I get that wrong? Okay, well that's not what I wanted. I was wanting the part about, okay, is that it? Can you read it? Earnest is a pledge, part of a purchase for money or property given in advance as security for the rest. Oh, dear ones, it says if in this life we only have hope, we are most miserable. That doesn't mean in this life Christ, God has given us the earnest of His Spirit. He's given us a pledge or a part of the purchase money as a security. Do you know in this life we can have life everlasting? We can have life. We can have in Him. He said, I came that you might have life and might have life abundantly. In Jesus Christ is that. But what it means, do you know what, dear ones? This world, there's going to be troubles on just and unjust. It's going to come both ways. And if all of that and all of that, if that's all that we had in life, we still have the riches of God. But we got more than that. We have so much. It's just an earnest for what is more out there for us. The Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness now. He's given us the riches in Christ Jesus now. He's given us all that we need. He is there to be that friend, to stick us closer than a brother, dear ones. He's there to be with you always. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. He will stand by us. He will will be with us. He will help us. Do you know, dear ones, the Lord is so good. He is such a blessing. He is such a helper in time of need. Do you know, it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago, the last time that we painted my house. And there was something that come up then. The Lord spoke to me and said, if you didn't have a husband, I would help you. But you take, you know what? The Lord, the other day, all of this started coming in, and the brethren started coming and helping me. I didn't ask for any of it. My family, one of them started saying, we're going to take off and go help Karen. The others didn't know anything about it. Yet one of them had to back out, and somebody else got the burden. And they called it up, and they said, we're going to go help. You know what, dear ones? God stands by His promises. He has been a helper. He has been a husband. He's been all that we need. Do you know, dear ones, you cannot outgive the Lord. To give our hearts and our lives into His hand doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles, that we're not going to have trials, but God will stand by His people. He will help us in every area of life. And yes, He helped me then, but He helped me in a special way when I needed it in a special way. The Lord is good. He will help, and He will be there right early, and He will help us. But not only that, dear ones, if we go to Matthew, the 19th chapter, and read there. The Lord wants us to beware of the times that we're in, to be on guard, and to lay up treasure now. We don't want to be those that have like a bag that's full of holes. That we have a bag and we've been putting treasures in it. And that treasure is moth-eaten and it's corrupted and it's rust and it's eating through the bag and there's holes all in the bag. And when the trouble comes, then you can put into it and it just falls right on out. And it just goes on. The Lord wants us to realize it's important to beware. We're in this time. Let's make preparation. Let's prepare for what is ahead in life. Let's give our hearts and lives to God and lay up treasure that will be there in heaven for us. It will be here now. In this time, it will be treasure that God can, that will be something that God will look into and will honor, and He will help us in time. In Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 29th verse, it says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit inherit everlasting life. Then, if we would go to John, the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse, and read something there. John 4 and 14. It says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, dear ones, living for the Lord, letting Him have our life, being watchful and prayerful, watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Give our hearts and lives to God. Lay up treasure that will not be eaten up with moth and rust. Oh, dear ones, being willing to do that which wisdom calls for. Doing right is right. And God's way is right. And you may say, but how do I know if this is right or not? Oh, dear one, if we will give our hearts and lives to God, and we will yield to Him and follow Him, He will help us to know what is right. He will lead us in right. We'll learn to follow Him. Learn to listen. Learn how to go. We all have learning that we have to do, and we will until the end of time. But oh, dear ones, it's wonderful to have God to be there with us in the times of trouble. And you know what? We need to beware, because the signs of the time are showing that we're heading into a place in our country that it's leading to the place where evil's being called good, where evil is on the hearts of men continually, and yet they go on eating and drinking and being merry. You can look upon the things of the land, and if you see what's there, it can bring fear upon your hearts. But look up. Look up. Our redemption cometh from God. And have faith in God. Give our lives entirely and be willing to follow Him. It is the good way. It is the right way. You pray for me. I say this. It's my desire from the depths of my heart and has been from a young girl. But, oh, dear ones, I'm dependent. We must recognize our dependency upon God. We can't do this in our own strength. We can't be faithful in our own strength. We can't do it in our own strength. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. You pray for me, and when you're in trouble, I'll pray for you. We need to lift each other up because we realize we all need the strength of the Lord in the times of the deepest troubles. Thank the Lord.